right now. It's Dave Matthews who's with us. A big day for the GWS Giants as they take on the Tigers. The season has turned a little nastily, mainly due to injury over the last few weeks. You've had a bye, Dave. Welcome, mate. Thanks for joining us here at the MCG.
Thanks, Haddo. And guys, how are you going?
Good. We're going well. It's obviously been a horrific 36 hours for everybody, but for the footy industry in particular, and with Phil Walsh. As someone who's been in the game probably almost as long as Walshy, how did you hear the news, and what sort of effect did it have on you?
Yeah, I spoke to Gubby Allen yesterday morning. He got the news pretty early, I think, via Chad Corns, because those guys are pretty close. I think our connection there, like a lot of clubs, when someone's worked in the game for that long, it sort of spreads far and wide. Chad Corns and Dean Brogan played under him. Gubby Allen played with him. Alan McConnell worked with him at Geelong. So, look, I think it's just incomprehensible, really. I think talking to Chad again this morning, the guys are still in shock. You think about what Adelaide's going through, but you particularly think about his family and friends, and our wishes go out to the family and friends of Phil Walsh, like everybody else has expressed. But it's just it's something you just can't make sense of.
It's just numbing, isn't it? I mean, how does a footy club deal with something like this, do you think? Just you think of how pivotal a coach is to everything that happens. And in the mid-season, obviously, we talked about their father-like relationship with players, the way they've been involved in every decision in the organisation.
Yeah, look, I think we've seen some tragedy over the years in various forms, whether it's, you know, players or, you know, administrators or... I just don't think we've confronted anything like this before. But when, you know, when tragedy has hit the industry, I think the industry's shown that it's at its best. The AFL family, you know, really does band together when in difficult times. And, you know, I can't imagine anything more difficult than this, to be honest.
And you think the response has been appropriate from the AFL with call off Sunday's game but all the other games go on?
Yeah, I think, look, it's just a common sense approach. I think Colin Carter's comments this morning are right, that, you know, there's people at Geelong that are affected anyway. But I don't know how anyone could have run out on Sunday in that particular game. So I think it was a common sense decision in a sort of nonsensical situation, isn't it?
No doubt. Your own team and your own club, how would you rate the year out of 10, or grade it, or just in general terms?
I think we're going really well. We're certainly seeing a lot of signs of progress off field. Our membership continues to build. Our crowds are building. Our commercial support's really significant now behind the club, which is great. And then, you know, we said at the start of the year we wanted to win 8 to 10 games. We saw that as a sign of sort of progress on field, and we're certainly marching along pretty well. We faced and then hit a couple of hurdles last time at the MCG, in fact, against Nick's old club. So, you have that sort of luck in football. It comes and goes and affects every club. But, our guys are still very positive about what they can achieve this season. You won't see, injuries to Shane Mumford or Phil Davis or anyone else as being an excuse offered up by Leon or the players. They're very ambitious about what they can achieve in the back half of the season.
You look at Gold Coast Suns, Dave, and say, on one hand, we got it right. We're going better and well, you know, we're not falling apart. Or do you look at them and say, I'm really worried about the Gold Coast Suns?
Oh, look, unless you're inside the club, I think it's really hard to read how their board and staff and players would be thinking about circumstances. But, you know, they've got very good leadership there. John Wither, I've known since he took on the role at the Gold Coast. Andrew Travis, I think, showed this week that he's a really good leader there. Yeah, they're facing issues that, other clubs have also faced or could potentially face. So I don't think anyone takes any joy out of, the spotlight they've been thrust into. I think it's harder for a young club. So we sit back and think, if those issues were to emerge at our club, you know, how would you best respond? But, you know, I think it probably just brings into question that what's been on the AFL's agenda for several months, maybe even longer now, which is a review of the illicit drugs policy and the way that's been dealt with. Because I think the problem at the moment is that clubs have no choice but to be reactive. All you can do is do all the education and mitigate the risks on the way in. But then, the policy at the moment means that you have to sort of sit back with your fingers crossed and then respond and react at the time. So, you know, it's Certainly disappointing to see, you know, the way Carmichael Hunt's finish at the club has played out, that's you know, very disappointing from my point of view. But you know, I've got no doubt that the Gold Coast will recover well and respond well. And you know, they've had no luck. They've had no luck at all on the field, so that probably hasn't helped either. But you know, I've sort of got a lot of empathy for what they're going through at the moment.
You brought up Carmichael Hunt, Dave, and previously your job before chief executive of Greater Western Sydney was game development, wasn't it, at the AFL. You played an integral part recruiting Carmichael, and Andrew probably came in, Andrew Dementia came in at the end and signed it off and took all the credit.
And now he's handing it back to saying.
Now he's going back to you, Dave.
Look, it was Andrew's decision. There's no doubt about that.
No, you played a big role in it. What were your thoughts when you first heard about Carmichael?
Well, look, you know, I did play a big role in it, and it's something that you know, was a decision that was thoroughly thought through. And I think even now, if you talk to a lot of the people at the Gold Coast about his leadership and impact in the early stages, you know, they speak about it in very positive terms. I think, you know, clearly what's emerged through, you know, what we're reading now is that, you know, a potential role he was playing as a leader dropped away in a positive sense, but probably played out in a very negative way. And I think that's, you know, exceptionally disappointing. You know, I've got no doubt he'd be very remorseful and disappointed in himself, but...
Should the AFL be responsible in any way for what's happened up there?
Oh, I don't think so, because, look, I think, you know, we've got 800 jobs in the AFL. Individuals come into the game in a variety of ways. You know, I don't think that there's any level of responsibility there more so than anyone else that gets accepted and brought into the system. And I think that's probably the issue at the moment is... you know, what are we doing with young players in the pathway on the way in terms of some of this education and policy decisions, so that when they actually enter the competition, I think what we're finding at the moment is, you know, there's this massive community issue. We know that. Massive community issue.
It's bigger than what people think.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Seriously, everyone keeps... I'm not having a go at you, Dave. Everyone says it's massive, it's massive, it's massive. It's bigger than massive.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It's as simple as that. The calls to Radio SCN this week, some of them were alarming from parents who spoke to their kids this week. It was one on Thursday when he rang up and he said, I spoke to my son yesterday and I asked him, tell me what happens. He goes, and he told me. He goes, he said, everyone go and talk to your kids. Go and talk to your kids. Mm. Like, it's out of control.
I would say that the issue is bigger in the general population than it is in terms of representative of the 800 players in the AFL competition. I think by and large... You know, they understand and are in an industry or a job that requires them to stay fit and healthy, and they understand, most of them understand the need to show themselves as leaders. So, but look, it's a massive community issue, and I think the AFL and the clubs have got to take a stronger position on the policy and a stronger leadership position generally.
Dave, just on your own club, my observations of Leon Cameron is that he's got a great balance between emotion and strategy and teaching, but also as when to be a friend to young players, but also when to be a coach. Has he exceeded your expectations?
I think he probably has. He's been outstanding. You know, when Sheeds went up there, part of what he was there to do was find a successor, and I think with Gubby Allen, and Gubby really identified Leon and put a lot of store in the fact that he's had this, you know, essentially a 9-year apprenticeship. So, you know, he looks younger than, and people tend to think sometimes that he's a young coach, but when you look at him, he's actually got a significant body of experience behind him. He's seen the Western Bulldogs, he's seen Richmond, he's seen Hawthorn at its best, but he's an outstanding man manager. He's very, very strong on, you know, just players' lives or coaches' lives outside of the day-to-day work in the footy department. I think it pays off because of... You know, they've got a lot of loyalty to him, the players and the staff, but they also, you know, respect, you know, what he has to say when he's very, very strong. So, yeah, I think he's outstanding. He's been a great appointment.
Ryan Griffin was a player you went after with much discussion in the off-season, a lot of trauma at the Western Bulldogs. Where are you at with that right now? Are you happy with how it's rolling along? It appears that he fluctuates with his happiness with the game, whether he's 100% bought into wanting to play footy week to week. There's an issue there, isn't there?
I don't think there is with us, but understand in talking to him that certainly there was when he in his last couple of years in Melbourne. In fact, I think, and probably Melbourne footy fans generally wouldn't like to hear this, but we get a lot of feedback from our players now, including Ryan, about how much they enjoy playing footy in Sydney and living in Sydney, and the fact that you can actually feel like you can have a reasonably normal life without the scrutiny. So I think he's enjoying...
How important is that?
Yeah, sorry. Very important. It's become a... I think it's become a key thing for us from a recruiting point of view, in fact.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's part of what we've been able to retain a lot of these young players on. They're really enjoying the lifestyle. I think there's a better balance for AFL players living in Sydney than there is in Melbourne. So I think he's enjoying it. From a form point of view, you know, it's probably one more for Leon to comment on, but I know for a fact that our young midfielder's just dined out on the fact he was being tagged early and sat on. he's
loving him.
They are. And his training standards are exceptional. I think also, you know, he's a very humble guy. So he's really added, I think, to the culture of the footy department. And I'm sure he would like to see his form be a bit better than what it has been. But, you know, I've got no doubt he's playing a really valuable role for us.
Can I ask a question back to the drugs discussion? If a group of 8, 10, 12 players decide to have a Mad Monday week and a golf trip and all that sort of stuff, what information would you have, or what knowledge would you have of that as a club?
Well, I think our leadership program would pretty quickly inform us if there's an issue.
What if there was just a planning meeting that this is going to go on? So the Gold Coast are talking about now in hindsight. It's easy to talk about in hindsight. At the time, would they have known that there was a gathering? There was a group going away? Would you know if that was at your club?
Yeah, I think we would.
Yep.
I think one thing that Gabby Allen's done very, very well from day one is he's almost over-invested in welfare. Craig and Melissa Lambert and others in and around the group have had a lot of situations of showing tough love to, you know, young players. We've had to relocate so many players in that, you know, we probably spend an inordinate amount of time in their off-field and personal lives, more so than most other clubs, I would have thought. Simon Kadich is our leadership development coordinator. Very strong. He's doing great work in, you know, developing people like Phil Davis, Callum Ward. You know, the leaders, I reckon, would be across those sort of things. It's not to say any club's immune, though.
Like, no. You know, but you'd know about it.
In the end, you know, individuals can go and get away and do whatever they want to do. I mean, you just got to try to, make sure they understand the choices and consequences.
You wouldn't think it would happen as a group, though.
No, not necessarily. I mean, look, in saying that, our guys are very tight. They're all close mates and, you know, they'll go off on holiday in groups together. You just hope that they understand. Yeah, we go above and beyond in our education on things like illicit drugs policy. We don't just roll out the sort of standard seminar stuff that sometimes
puts
players to sleep. I'll give you an example. Gabby Allen got the most senior woman in the Queensland Police Force from 2011. She'd been coming down basically every year. 3 weeks ago, she spoke to our playing group, and she just lays it out. In the most brutal fashion I've ever heard. Unbelievable presentation. And she just tells the cold, hard reality of the situation about drugs like I haven't heard it expressed before. And so it's all very well to say, here's another policy you've got to adhere to. Here's a session you've got to go and have a listen to. I mean, her opening the other day, as an example, was, I want you to put your hand up if you think if this job finished today, you could go and find one that pays exactly the same money. Put your hands up if you could do that.
Zero.
Yeah. So, and it was all about, you know.
A couple of the rookies put their hand up.
Oh, the rookies, mate. Yeah. So you're saying,
can't
Dave,
afford rookies, mate. We haven't got to afford them.
Is the AFL Players Association and the AFL doing enough?
No, but I think.
Are they doing enough?
No, because I think that's what. But I think that's what everybody's talking about at the moment. This conversation's been going on for a few months about how does this. At the moment, it's a workplace agreement, really, the illicit drugs policy between the Players Association. And there's no doubt that that in itself is groundbreaking, and I'm sure it's made a level of difference and there's been progress. But now, you know, as Gillen says, now's the time to actually look at it and say, how do we strengthen it up? Yeah. How do we...
When do you want to know, Dave? Two strikes. That's what it's probably going to go to.
Two strikes.
And so you guys would know on the first strike?
Well, I think we should. But I think we need to think about... you know, it's in the past been a negotiation between the Players Association and the AFL. I actually would rather see it as a condition of employment. I'd rather say, if you nominate for the draft, you're coming into this competition accepting that these are the working conditions.
I agree with
you. And then I think the most difficult thing, and I'd be interested in Nick's view on this, is that in the end, the player welfare and player development and all those issues are best managed by the clubs. They're not managed by the Players Association. The Players Association roll out some training and accreditation, but when there's an issue, it usually doesn't even sit with the player managers. It sits with the club. First person at our club to manage a difficult situation would be Craig Lambert and Gubby Allen. They're the guys that I would have complete trust and confidence in dealing with a difficult issue. So, you know, the sooner they know.
They don't know to the third strike.
Yeah, so you're forced to react. So when people say how the Gold Coast responding at the moment, well, you know, they're reacting. They have to react because that's what the policy does.
I agree, and I spoke about that during the week, and I think that the most important thing I had around me was I had players who would go out and they would have their ear to the ground, they would know what was going on, and having a relationship with those guys to know exactly what is going on out there and who is having issues, I think that's huge for any sort of leadership.
Took
group.
Up 8 hours a week of Maxi's discussions. That.
Dave, before we let you go, are you going to keep all the players you want to keep?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's no doubt they all want to stay. You know, there's some big offers coming. We saw the sort of offer Tom Boyd got last year. But we've been really pleased with the progress so far in getting, you know, Shield, Cameron, Smith, these guys all signing on. And, you know, we're working away. Obviously, the two of the names that keep coming up at the moment are Stephen Cornelio and Adam Treloar, and they're players that we're working away with at the moment.
Cornelio's... You're pretty very confident, aren't you?
I don't think any of the players really see a future beyond the Giants at the moment. It's just a situation of going through the process with the managers.
They were the two guys that put their hand up and they said, if it finishes today, would you be able to get more money doing something else? They said, yeah, Richmond and Collingwood.
Do you know the club? You know the club chasing Adam Treloar?
Well, I would have thought there's 17 who've made an inquiry, but I think, you know.
Who's the hottest?
I don't know. You probably know better than me.
I just want to get confirmation.
Okay. Well, when you find out, can you let me know?
Can you still offer picks 4 and 6 for Stevie J? We'll take it.
But on that, that's the greatest myth going around in football, that. Because if that was actually the case, then Geelong would have been negligent to knock it back, wouldn't they?
I would have heard.
Seriously, I heard Brian Cook, and I spoke to him about this. I heard him give an interview saying that, I think we got offered a couple of top 10 picks. If that had been the case...
What did you offer for him?
We offered... what we offered in the end was... we opened discussions to say, would he be available? And they said, on what basis? And we talked a bit about it. And we said, well, first of all, let's find out if he'd do it. And he... In America, he's on a golf trip and said, and I think he said he politely declined. I think he was on the 19th. But, you know, we said, look, we've got some early picks. We'd consider one of them and maybe a player or do something. But, you know, it was just a discussion. It was never an offer and it was never anything concrete. But certainly if there was any substance to that discussion about two top 10 picks, then they should have done a deal, shouldn't they?
They should have.
Well done, Davey.
Thank you, Dave. Dave, good luck today. It's Dave
Matthews. Get you along on the phone. Hello, Kenny. Let's get the bottom of this now.
We'll do a new deal. Only joking, Stevie. Dave Matthews, GWS CEO, joining us here at the MCG.